Welcome to the Knitting Pretty Podcast. This is episode 37, and it is March 19th, 2015. Hi, my name's Em. You can find me on the internet as KnitFastDieCozy, particularly Ravelry and Instagram. And then there are show notes for the podcast at emmaknits.net, where I keep my blog and my knitting patterns. And there's a Facebook group at facebook.com/emmaknits. And a Ravelry group, which you can find by searching in Ravelry for Knitting Pretty Podcast. And I think that is all. So hi, how are you? I hope you've had a good week. I've had a great week. I feel like I haven't gotten anything done, but it's been sort of a comfortable rut, so that's okay. Sorry, I do keep losing my voice though, so it's going to be in and out today. Hopefully it's not as bad as last week with the weird sound when I kept having my stomach growling. I was so embarrassed when I listened back to the recording when I was editing. I was like, you can hear my stomach growling on the podcast. I was like, oh well, I did make a goal to be real with myself and with all of you guys, so, gross, but okay. But yeah, if my voice keeps popping in and out, I'll try. So yeah, welcome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back and listening again if you're a returning listener, and I hope that you enjoy the show today. I do want to remind you that we've got the giveaway from Fiberlicious, which is a yarn store that's going to be opening in Orange, California. They're doing a Kickstarter, and it ends this weekend. So if you haven't gone to check it out, go check it out. They've still got a ways to go to their goal, but I think their yarn store is going to be really great. It looks like they have the business knowledge to have a successful business, whereas, you know, like, some of us are creatives, myself included, and actually managing a business is not necessarily how our brain works. It looks like these two ladies really have what it takes to make a successful yarn store, so go check out their Kickstarter. To enter in the giveaway for a skein of yarn and a bag for it from them, go to the Kickstarter and have a look at their backer rewards and see which one you like and come back to the Ravelry group and tell us. There's a thread that you'll be able to find easily. You gotta be a member of the group and no chatter and what else? Follow the prompt. You know, the usual contest rules. And I will draw for that next week. But if you haven't considered backing the Fiberlicious Yarn Store, especially if they're in your area, because how exciting is that? Go ahead. You got a little bit of time left. All right. Into the podcast. In my past, I have nothing. And I had nothing last week, or at least I said I had nothing, but that wasn't true. I did have something last week. So I'm going to talk about the thing that I forgot last week in lieu of the nothing that I have this week. So last week, I had finished a barley hat by Tin Can Knits. It's a free pattern that they did as part of their Simple collection, which is awesome. It's, if you've ever wanted to teach a friend of yours to knit and you've wanted patterns for it, this collection is actually built around the process of learning to knit. By the time you're done it, you basically have a full set of knitting skills. It's, you know, it's not hyper complicated lace or cables or anything, but as far as knitting, purling, and making things out of those, from blanket to scarf to mitts and hat and a sweater. So, you know, it does teach a full range of skills. Barley's one of those patterns. And it's just a really cute little either tight toque or a slouchy toque with a garter stitch panel. The rest is stockinette. And I wanted to make something for a knitting friend's baby that the baby would appreciate as well as the knitting friend. And I happened to have some handspun lying around that was a blend of Angora and Merino and Tencel from Ixchel Bunny, who I do believe is still in business. I linked to her last time and I will again. So it was fiber that I then spun into a really soft kind of worsted weight yarn. It's very drapey and floppy, lovely stuff. And it was in these really soft colors of lavender and sage green and a sort of dusty blue. I would say a dark blue, but it's only dark in comparison to the other colors. It's actually quite light, but it seems dark in comparison. And altogether for this really just sort of serene, soft yarn. And so I took a couple hours and knit that into a barley hat, and it was so cute, and I think that the baby will enjoy it very much because it's both very warm and very soft. And it was well received at the baby shower as well, so I'm glad for that. On to my present, because that is all for the past. I am still working on my Evenstar, as I will be for some time now. I'm more than halfway through the second chart now, so the second chart, and then there's a third chart, and then there's an edging chart. And the third chart's huge, the second chart, not quite so much. I'm knitting the Evenstar out of hand spun. It's a yak merino blend from Sweet Georgia Yarns, and I made it into a gradient. And so far it's going great. It's soft, it's beautiful, it's incredibly warm. Even though the fabric's very thin, it's still very warm. The only thing so far is that I've only made it through one color of my 5-color gradient, and I know that that's actually about right for the area of the shawl, but because I've made it so far through the second chart, and there's only 4 charts and all that, I'm getting all angsty, like, you know, when is the color actually going to change? Is it ever going to change? I don't know. But I know that it will change, so I'm just trusting it, and knitting and knitting and knitting. The pattern's still really great, I really enjoy it. I have been working on some spinning. I've been plying like mad on my Wool Gatherings BFL and Tessa Silk blend. I had 4 4-ounce braids of it, 2 in one color and 2 in another color. Both colors are just very warm, spicy. They're kind of Silk Road-ish colors to me. But they're different. One of them is based more around pinks and purples, and the other one is based more around gold and orange and has some sort of purpley black in it. And I am then plying the 2 colors together for a light fingering heavy lace weight 2-ply, which I hope to make a sweater out of at some point. I might make a featherweight, or if I get, you know, a huge amount of yardage, well, we'll see. I don't know yet. But it is the most boring plying right now because, unfortunately, I only have 4 bobbins for my Lendrum wheel, for the regular flyer for it, and I needed to spin all 4 bobbins full of singles, like completely full. And all I have left is the jumbo bobbin, which would be cool because I could get these giant skeins, except for the fact that the jumbo bobbin head has much slower spinning ratios. If you don't spin basically a spinning wheel, how fast the flyer goes, how fast the twist is added to the yarn, is based on the ratio of the drive wheel to the pulley that's on the flyer, or in some cases the bobbin. And in the case of this wheel on the jumbo bobbin and flyer head, the ratio is not very good. It's like 7-to-1 at most. And so I have been treadling like a madwoman trying to get in way more twist than this flyer is equipped to do. And it's not the fault of the wheel, it's just me not having enough stuff. So I've decided I want to get more bobbins for my Lendrum, and I've decided the bobbins I want are the Acreworks 3D printed flat packing bobbins because they're super cute and everybody else has them, it feels like, and I want some. I want some for me. But in the meantime, I just treadle and treadle and treadle and very slowly add more yarn to my jumbo bobbin. As soon as I empty out one of the other bobbins, rather than making another jumbo skein, because it's going to take 2 jumbo bobbins worth of space to ply all of this, I'm just going to start working on one of the little bobbins so I can do it more quickly and have a couple of smaller skeins as well as the one huge one. And that'll be fine. It's got to be better than treadling forever, it feels like. I've put so many hours into this yarn, and I just want it done. Anyway, I also started a new project, which is much more exciting than the eternal treadling. I started another knitting project. It is the Footy Socks by Miriam Felton. And these socks are, well, they're footy socks. They're ankle socks. They don't come up past the ankle. And rather than just being a regular sock pattern where you just don't knit a cuff on them, they actually are built to be ankle socks. Because if you look at a pair of hand knit socks when they're on your foot, right at the ankle, right above the heel flap, you'll notice that the stitches, the lines of stitches, aren't actually going horizontally. They're at an angle. They're at about a 30, not quite, ish, 30-ish degree angle from horizontal. And that means maybe 20, maybe 15, I don't know. Probably depends on your foot, actually, now that I think of it. Anyway, they're at an angle. And what that means is that the top of the sock is at a higher position than the back of the sock, and it makes it really easy for the heel of the sock to pop off of your heel. And so I've never had any success with short socks staying on. And it's been very disappointing. But these socks, instead of working like that, you knit for a while, and then you knit just the sole of them, and then you do a heel. And then you pick up a band all the way around. And that means that you don't have that angle and that tendency to have the socks slip off your heel. The other cool thing about this pattern, and by the way, it is a $6 US Ravelry download. The thing that makes it well worth that price is that it is for a whole bunch of different gauges. And then it talks about ease. So you've got sizes for gauge, I think 5 different gauges, maybe 6. And then you've got 2 different eases for each size. And then it's got sizes as well. So it's got sizes from, oh, see, now I can't remember it well enough and I don't have it up in front of me. I think 6 through 11, maybe, inches around foot, or 6 through 10 or something like that. It's got a whole bunch of sizes, a whole bunch of gauges, and 2 different amounts of ease. So it's really, really comprehensive, and it's all done with charts, so you find the size of your foot, you find the gauge that you're working at, and then you can decide how tight you like your socks to be, and follow the charts through, and that'll give you all of your stitch counts. And the cool thing about that is means you can work these little socks with any yarn. And so you could make them with a really chunky yarn to make warm little house slipper socks. Or you could make them with a lace weight yarn, if you so desired. And anything in between. And I just think it's a great pattern, and I'm really looking forward to having them done. I've got most of one sock done, and I'm using Knit Picks Felici in the Rustic Cabin colorway, which is knitting up beautifully. And I like it a lot. I'm knitting it on US size 0 needles, which is a 2mm needle. And I think that that gets me the perfect gauge for Felici, because it is a very soft yarn and I don't want it to wear through right away. And yeah, I'm looking forward to making more of these footy socks. I think it's a good pattern and it's versatile. And I like the idea of having some summer wool socks, because I wear my knitted socks all year, but I do find they're a bit much in the summer, and I tend to just go barefoot instead, but it would be nice to have some socks. So yay that. In my future, I'm mostly going to leave out patterns for now, because the show and tell segment is all patterns all the time, but I am going to be doing a sample knit that I'm super excited about, that I will tell you more about soon, but it is going to be with Caterpillar Green Yarns. If you haven't seen her yarn, you need to. You just straight up need to, all right? She makes self-striping yarn, but it's better than any self-striping yarn ever. Her method allows pretty much any length of stripe. So she does shawl yarns where the stripes stay consistently wide throughout the entire shawl, despite the fact that the shawl requires more yarn as it gets larger. And this one is a new ball shape that works with different colors and brioche stitch. So needless to say, I am super excited about that, and I will be Instagramming the crap out of it and just generally enthusing. But I can't yet because I don't have the yarn. But I will really soon. Yay! On to the show and tell segment. So today we're going to do part 2 of the knitting versus spring summer 2015 fashion trends. Last week we talked about silhouettes and shapes and themes and sort of overall style stuff. But I had so much stuff that I kept the fabrics and texture and color stuff for today. I didn't want to make a two-hour episode last week. That would have been crazy. And I think the fabrics, texture, and color all go so well together that it's kind of the perfect standalone thing. So here we are. First, I want to talk a little bit about the color trends for spring 2015. And I'm going to put a picture, it's a Pantone color mixed with fashion illustrations, in the show notes that just lets you have a look at the sort of trendy colors. This one has them a little bit more softened and grayed out than some of the other color trend, color forecasting pictures I've looked at. Some of them have them at their full intensity, but that does tend to not happen as much with spring fashion. I find in summer you tend to get the more full intensity colors. In spring you get the softer colors. And then winter and fall you start getting the darker, more cozy looking colors. So the colors, the Pantone names for them are aquamarine, and I wouldn't say aquamarine is actually the color of the aquamarine stone. It's more of a slightly dusty, soft blue, and custard, which is a slightly muddy yellow, very light though. Strawberry ice, which is a nice rosy, like a dusty rose, but not too dusty, just a smidge dusty, like most of my house. Toasted almond is a soft neutral beige. And then there's lucite green, which is more of a, it's kind of halfway between jade and mint and maybe a little bit of hospital green in there too. Marsala is the color of the year. I've talked about it many episodes ago when they announced it. It's a red, supposedly, but to me it looks like the color of dried blood or liver. I don't like it, but that's okay. I don't have to like it. Scuba blue is a nice bright turquoise. Classic blue is gorgeous. It's like a perfect Delft blue. It's not as bright as royal blue. Slightly toned down, slightly dusty. It's gorgeous. Tangerine is pretty much what it says on the label. Nice bright orange. And glacier gray is a very soft pale gray. And all of these are working, like I've seen all of them fairly heavily throughout the collections. Particularly the ones that stick out are the aquamarine, the lucite green, the classic blue, and the glacier gray, as well as the toasted almond. But all of them really are very prevalent. And then the cool thing is that they've all been worked into neutrals or into prints that are just totally out there and have all the colors. And so color is really, like, there still are a couple it colors this season, but I feel like this season is not as focused on one color as previous ones have been. Like, I remember a couple years ago, there was this grass green that was very much the color of the year, whether anyone declared it to be or not. And it was everywhere, and it was gorgeous. And I started buying things in this beautiful color of green. It goes really nicely with my complexion, and makes my eyes look about the same color, and it's all very fancy. And so I kept buying it, and I bought it, and I bought it, and I bought it, and I bought sweaters, and I bought a dress, and I bought a coat, and suddenly I went through my wardrobe and realized all I had was some jeans and this color of green. So it's not as ubiquitous as that. It's not every store has all the same colors, but I'm definitely seeing a lot of blush pinks and neutrals everywhere. Everywhere seems to have these really nice, the gray neutrals and the cool, more neutral, cool, soft beige. And that's nice. It's kind of nice to see some neutrals alongside of the really crazy colored pieces. It makes it feel like it's a little bit easier to layer them together, which, you know, makes dressing yourself easy, which is good. One thing about the classic blue I like as well is that it also trends towards navy, and navy for spring is kind of fun, particularly when you combine it with a fun bright print. So let's go on to our first theme. It is transparency and sheer fabrics. Chiffon is, of course, the big one, which it's just a very, very lightweight woven fabric, generally made out of silk. Broderie anglaise, which is it means English embroidery, but it's a specific kind of generally white lace that is, it looks like, if you look at lace eyelet, particularly eyelet edgings, that tends to be what it is. It's on cotton and it's done with fairly large holes. It's everywhere. There's a lot of sport mesh. Think back to the jerseys or pinnies or whatever you call them that you were forced to wear in elementary school playing dodgeball, and you always got hit in the face with the ball. That mesh. But, like, you know, deluxe. It doesn't smell like 10 years of stinky children. Tulle. And lawn. Lots of different fabrics, but generally being able to see through them. And some things, it's not so much that you can see through the fabric as the actual item has stuff cut out of it. And sometimes it's to imitate a sort of very large scale lace. Sometimes it's just cutouts, you know, because you can. One thing is that it's not necessarily over bare skin this time. There have been a lot of seasons lately, probably the past two or three seasons of shows, where it's just been like all nipples all the time as far as the shirts go with the see-through, and this one, yeah, has had a lot of nipples as well, and that's cool. But there were a lot of pieces for spring, which I think is particularly interesting for spring, because they tend to go with the light fabrics over bare skin for spring. But instead, light transparent fabrics over top of heavier printed, more graphic fabrics. And so, you know, you'd have a light dress that's very lacy and flowy and see-through over top of a really structured, dark-colored, printed skirt. And, you know, to each their own as far as style, but it is kind of nice that that layering has been done. It makes some of the runway looks look a little bit more real-world appropriate. So, patterns that employ this sheerness. The first one I wanted to talk about is Eventide by Holly Yeo. It is in the book Tempest, which is available in ebook form. And it is a fairly simple boxy pullover with a little bit of a boat neck that, or a ballet neck, actually. It's not as wide as a boat neck. And it's a little bit deeper. But it has a chevron pattern on it. And you do it by doing two different yarns. So you knit a chevron stripe in a thicker yarn and then in a thinner yarn. And so it gives you alternating stripes of sheerness. And it's done with Sweet Georgia yarns in the same color. And so rather than alternating colors as most striping things do, it just alternates in fabric. And it's really pretty. It's like, I think it's a really wearable idea of something that is transparent or sheer, and I like it a whole lot. I think it's really cute, and I would like to make it at some point. I don't know when, but at some point I'd like to make it. The next one is the Linden sweater. Linden, sorry if that didn't come out properly, by Erica Schluter, let's say. And it's in the spring 2015 knit scene, so it's a fairly new pattern. And it is also a pullover. It's got drop shoulders and a boat neck or ballet neck or whatever. And it is also sheer, although this one is completely sheer. The cool thing about it, because there are a lot of patterns available for a sweater that is a little yarn knit at a loose gauge for a sheer sweater, this one has some cool layering stuff going on. So at the bottom hem and at the cuffs and at the neck, it's got a second layer in a denser fabric and in a darker color. And so it draws attention to those areas and it kind of plays with the idea of layering, but without the actual layers, so you can still see through the piece. It's really cool. I think it's an interesting idea, and I'd be curious to see how people make it up, because I think it's a really neat sweater. And the other good thing about a lace weight sweater is they are so economical as far as sweaters go. Some people could knit this in one skein of the lace plus the other color. Other people would need two skeins of lace weight, but even with fancy hand-dyed yarn, two skeins of lace weight is not nearly as much money as, you know, 8 skeins of Aran weight. So that's pretty cool. And it has a really wide size range. It's meant to have ease. It has 7 inches of positive ease, which is kind of nice with that sheer, loose look that it has, that it doesn't cling too much. It makes the sheerness very pretty and soft and wouldn't make you feel body conscious while wearing it. Anyway, it goes from a 40-inch bust to a 59-inch bust. So even without that 7 inches of ease, that still is a 32 to a 50, or, yeah, 33 to a 52. Math on the go is not my skill. The third pattern I wanted to talk about is the Hitofude cardigan by Hiroko Fukatsu, and this is a pattern I've actually made, so I can definitely recommend it. It's really cool. You actually knit it without breaking your yarn for the entire sweater. It's pretty neat. It is an open front cardigan with an all-over simple lace pattern, and then the bottom part, like, it's got sort of, you knit kind of a shrug, and then the bottom skirt part of the thing is more like a circular shawl. So the whole thing is very loose and flowy, which works well with kind of bohemian, soft, romantic trend that's going on. But also, the all-over lace allows you to see through it a bit. And it depends on what you wear underneath it, or how thick the yarn you've used is and everything, how transparent it is, but it does allow you to play with that transparency while also having a piece that, you know, it's not a pullover. You don't have to think about, like, do I wear something under this? I don't know. Yes, you do. It's a cardigan. It's not got a front. So, yeah, it's a really pretty sweater, and I really think that you should check it out. There have been a lot of really gorgeous, gorgeous versions of it. The next thing I wanted to talk about as far as lace and transparency was a pattern called Promise Me, and it's by Boo Knits. It's a shawl. And really I wanted to draw attention just to everything by Boo Knits, because amazing lace shawls. Just gorgeous, romantic, beautiful crescent-shaped shawls generally. But absolutely gorgeous. And this one's in an ebook. It's only available as part of the ebook. The other patterns are available separately from the ebook, but not this one. But she's got lots of gorgeous patterns, and if you love this one, I'm sure you'll find something else in her repertoire that is similar. But it's a very simple, romantic, soft lace. It's not particularly, It's not, you know, trying to evoke a specific shape that I can see. It's just simple, and it's done in a really light lace weight, so it's totally transparent. It would make a lovely wedding shawl. There are beads on some of the samples, but I don't know if it actually indicates beads in the pattern. But anyway, it's really gorgeous, and I think would work really well as far as adding a little bit of this sort of romantic lace and sheerness kind of trend to your wardrobe, but it, you know, also would knit fairly quickly, and, you know, it's a gorgeous little shawl, and if you knit it in something like silk or maybe baby alpaca or something, it could also be quite warm, and so you'd have something that would be wearable year-round. And I think, too, just it bears in mind that with all of this lace and boho inspiration, I think any kind of lace shawl right now it's a good time to wear it. There's a lot of lightweight lace shawls that would be beautiful, and, you know, sometimes we don't really know what to do with them. I think you should just wear them, and wear them now. Okay. The next pattern is a tank top by Amy Herzog. It's called Fia, and it's in Rowan 57. And it is a gorgeous little tank. The front is solid stockinette with just a little bit of lace at the top, and then the entire back is done in a chevron lace. So again, it's, and this is what I've tried to do with this transparency kind of trend, is to find things that normal people would be comfortable wearing, and I think this one is one. Because you may not want to have a whole lot of stuff showing through your transparent knitting, but just having the back having lace and being a little bit see-through is not nearly as risque as the front. So it's very sweet, and it's very sort of well, as modest as a half sheer top can be, I suppose. It's got a little bit of ease worked in, which just makes it very, very pretty and relaxed. And I think also it would work for, like, provided you're comfortable with the lace, a lot of different age groups. I could see this on a teenager up, infinitely up. And it, again, has a pretty good size range. Rowan is not known for an awesome size range, but this one goes from 32 to 50. So that is pretty cool. The next pattern, also from Rowan 57, is CAC? C-H-E? C-A-C? I don't know. S-I-E-C-I by Gemma Atkinson, and it is a crochet. Oh, it's crochet. Of course it is. I tried to only find knitting patterns, but here we are, so I'm talking about it. Here we go. It's a crochet t-shirt, but it's all done in very, very open crochet, so it's more just like netting, but it does have a strong horizontal striping pattern to it. And if you can crochet, I think this is a great pattern for the season. It works well with what is on trend right now. It's cute. It is worked in a really, really pleasant shade of orange. And yeah, and it doesn't look that complicated. Like, I don't have particularly epic crochet skills, and I think I could make this thing. So check it out. The final pattern I want to talk about in this trend, and yes, I did find a lot for this, and I tried to find ones that I hadn't found before, because there are lots of mesh tops or whatever, but I wanted to find things that had something a little bit special about them or were a little more on trend. So anyway, this one is the Parker Tee by Miriam Felton, who's the same person who designed the footy socks that I'm making, and I just first want to say, if you go to this pattern's page on Ravelry, she has the schematic in the project pictures, and it is so detailed and has so much in the way of measurements. I am super impressed. Like, I want to knit this, and I'm really looking forward to being able to knit it really accurately to my body. So it is called the Parker Tee. It is a t-shirt, unsurprisingly by the name. And it has a simple scoop neck. The front is stockinette, the back is stockinette, but then it's got a sort of saddle shoulder that's done in a mesh lace, and that mesh lace goes all down the sleeve and then also extends under the arm along the side of the body. And the reason I really like this pattern, first of all, it would be so much cooler in the summer to have that mesh panel in a knit tee. It's done in a sport weight, which I think is pretty reasonable for wearing in a lot of summer climates, if not all. Definitely not all. I guess it depends what the fiber type is. But it allows you to do that kind of transparency thing, again, without being too overt about it, without putting yourself out there too much, making yourself uncomfortable with too much sheerness. I think it's something that just about anybody could wear without something underneath it. It'll show a little bit of skin through it, but not much. As long as your bra matches your skin tone, you're golden. Unless you don't want your bra to match your skin tone, which is your choice as well. But yeah, I just think it's really pretty and it's really wearable and I just adore it. So go check it out. It's also done in a really pretty turquoise color, which I think just adds to the whole thing. The next thing I wanted to talk about was gingham. So if you aren't familiar with gingham, it is the fabric weave that is in Dorothy's dress in The Wizard of Oz. It is in tablecloths. I mean, it's not actually gingham fabric that generally you'll find a tablecloth out of, but that red and white where it's red and white squares with then the weave blends the two together for a sort of pinkish square between, that's gingham. Generally you'll find it in red or black or blue. Gingham this time is most common in black and white, light blue and white, and pale pink and white, which is different. And rather than being on the small scale that it normally it's a fairly tiny, tiny pattern, it's instead quite big sometimes, which is fun. So I found a couple patterns that I feel work well with the idea of gingham, but they don't necessarily actually, look like it. So the first pattern I wanted to mention was Vouvray by Melanie Burke. It was in a Quince & Company collection of shawls, and it is a crescent-shaped shawl. And just, sorry, my family just got home, so if you hear small child giggling and such in the background, I can't do anything about it. It's raining, I can't kick them back outside. Vouvray is a crescent-shaped shawl that has solid areas of color and then areas that look sort of like a check pattern. And I think it's a mosaic stitch. But yeah, it is. So the color work isn't stranded color work. Instead, it's mosaic, which works with working alternate rows of colors and sometimes slipping stitches and sometimes not. It's a really cool technique, and it makes a really great shawl that I think is really wearable and could knit up quite quickly, so that you could be wearing it right away. It's a worsted weight shawl. It only uses 840 yards for a really big wrap. So I think you could get a lot of wear out of it. And depending on the colors you chose, it would be very versatile. But I really like it in the black and white. I guess it's actually more of a brown and white, but whatever. Black and white. The next one is a pattern called Heritage. It's from Knitty Winter 2014, and it's by Karen Simo. It's a cowl, and the cowl has a stranded colorwork pattern on the main body that looks a lot like gingham. It's done with black and white and gray, and in a check pattern, just as you'd expect. But then the edging of the cowl is done in a feather and fan, so it has a scalloped edge. And as we'll get to later, scalloped edgings are also a thing right now. So it's probably too warm for all but the early spring and the late fall. Well, and, you know, winter. But, you know, it's not going to be much of a summer pattern. But you could knit it now and enjoy, you know, feeling on trend and then wear it in the winter. And I'm going to guess that, you know, tartan comes back again this winter. We'll see. The next pattern is the number 27 Tartan Pullover by Teresa Shabes? Shab? Who knows, really? I'll link it in the show notes. And it's in Vogue Knitting Winter 2014-15, and it is, like it says, a tartan pullover, but it's all done with intarsia. So it's not a pattern that you'd want to enter into lightly, but it does have the sort of look of gingham, and depending on the colors you chose, you could really work that gingham look into it. It's a very, very pretty pullover, but I think the best thing about it is that it's done in a lace weight. So, I mean, that makes it kind of a ridiculous pattern. You know, it would take forever. It's a huge undertaking. But at the same time, it makes a tartan-style knitted pullover that is very lightweight. And that is what makes all the difference for this one, because a lot of the things that look kind of tartan are, you know, they're done in a worsted weight, it's a stranded colorwork, which means it's even thicker, and you end up with something that you could not possibly wear in the spring, or the winter in most places. You know, it's just too thick, so I think this one is a good one to go have a look at, and even just, you know, look at and enjoy the idea of, if not the actual knitting of it. The final one for gingham looks like a true gingham and reminds me of tablecloth fabric and is perfect for spring and summer, provided you're comfortable with it. It also works well in with the crop top theme. It's called Bel Air and it's by Heather Dixon, and it is a it's a crossback strappy crop top. It's basically a tube top with straps that cross in the back. And it is super cute. It's got a gingham style pattern on it, which is done with slip stitches, I think. It doesn't look like typical stranded color work. It looks like, or you're maybe holding the floats on the outside or something. Anyway, it's really neat. And if you are comfortable with having your tummy out there, I think that this could be a fun little thing. And if you know, if you wore a something over it, it would not be quite so exposing. But also, it's just a fun summer top, and if you feel comfortable in it, I think you should make it and rock it because it's cool. It's also knit. One of the recommended yarns is Knit Picks Comfy, which is quite a cheap yarn. And it's also a acrylic and cotton blend. And so just the whole thing about this top is that it'd be really, really light, easy, comfortable summer wearing. And it's really adorable. And it's gingham. And it's a crop top. So there. The next trend I wanted to talk about is the color white. Specifically used for dresses, but not bridal dresses. I mean, you know, it might mean that if you happen to be getting married this season, you'll be able to find a wedding dress in a regular store for not that much money, and go you. That's pretty exciting. But, you know, the dresses are meant for everyday wear. There's lots of soft, filmy, white cottons, you know, they're photographed billowing in the wind. Boho style tops with an empire waist and lots of fullness and soft sleeves, white delicate lace, just white everything. White is the thing. And, you know, white jeans, all white ensembles with white everything from shoes to top, you know? So I just found two knitted white dresses because the white dresses are really the part that just I really appreciate. And both of these are also really on trend with the lace and the transparency and the sort of boho thing, and I just had to share them with you. One I've talked about on the podcast before, it's called White Karen, and it's by Tatyanina, and it is an above-the-knee-length knitted dress that has split sleeves, so they're like a cold shoulder sleeve, I suppose. Well, kind of, they're not actually off the shoulder, they're just split. And an A-line shape, and it's got ease through the body, and then you belt it it's done with a ribbon in this, and it looks so pretty. Anyway, it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's done a sort of Shetland-style lace. It's got the little Shetland lace tree motifs and other stuff. It's gorgeous. If you never intend on knitting a dress, that's fine, but you should go look at this because it's so pretty, and maybe you'll change your mind. The next one is called Silvermine, and it's by Stephanie Close, and it was her wedding dress. It looks like, yeah. And it's spectacular. But it doesn't have to be a wedding dress. It totally doesn't. It has, like, it's very formal, worn the way she wore it, but it also has the ability to be a much more casual dress, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It is full length. It looks like it's a little bit longer at the back than the front. So the back is full length, the front is just above ankle length. And it's a full lace dress that's done in panels. It has different lace motifs in different panels. And it's got a simple wide strap tank shape with then emphasis at the waist, but not much drawing in at the waist, just emphasis, which again is a really strong silhouette this season, and then a long flowy skirt that has some volume to it, but not a huge amount. It has a very vintage look to it. It looks sort of 1910s to me, and it's just, oh, it's beautiful. It's got little buttons all the way down the back. She wears it with a sort of pale peach slip underneath it, and it's just spectacular. I'm really glad that she wrote this pattern down for other people to use. Even if nobody else makes it, it just, those pictures need to be out there being gorgeous knitted dress inspiration. The next trend is a trend that works not with knitting in the slightest. It's leather, but because, you know, you have to figure out ways to style your knitted items, I thought I'd mention it. Leather everything. I mean, there were suede shirts on the runway for spring, which I think is a little crazy, honestly, because suede gets pretty warm, being, you know, skin and everything. But there were leather everything, leather skirts, leather accents, long leather jackets, again, for spring, summer. A little questionable, I think, as far as wearability, but maybe you live in the summer hemisphere, or the summer hemisphere, the southern hemisphere, and it's not actually spring and summer during the spring and summer season of fashion, and there you go, leather jacket. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that with the leather trend and the trend of sort of Japanese-inspired obi-style belts, they look great paired with knit dresses or, like, knit tunic-length tops. You could do a lot with that. Or, you know, using it to draw in the waist while wearing one of the big lacy shawls, like the Boo Knits one that I talked about, to create a sort of balanced silhouette where you have a lot on the shoulders and then a narrow waist. It works really nicely, just trust me. Anyway, if you're into leather, and that's not the way I mean it, leather is in to you. Weirdest thing I've said on the podcast, possibly, to this point. Anyway, next trend. Let's move on. The next trend is fringe and scalloped edges and ruffles. Everything seemed to have textural embellishment on it this season, and sometimes it was just an embroidery or in actual texture woven into the fabric, but a lot of things were fringed, particularly the stuff that really jumped into the 70s style. There were really large scalloped edges and really tiny ones, things with layer upon layer of ruffles making the models look like, you know, little chiffon-draped confections. It was sort of adorable. So I found some patterns for you. But these are a little more wearable than some of the fluffy chiffon things. The first is Echoes of Color by Joji Locatelli. It is a striped shawl. It's done in a triangle, but it's got the bias knit construction that a lot of shawls are having right now, but it's got some variation on that, so it's not the same old thing that everyone else has done. But at the end of the rows, there's a fringe, little bit of fringe created, and it looks like it's actually worked in as you knit the thing. I'm not sure how. I don't know about that, but it's what it looks like, and it's just got a simple short fringe all the way around a nice striped triangular shawl. I think it's, again, a fairly versatile thing. You could get a lot of wear out of it, and you could pick your colors so they worked well with what you like. And yeah, I just think it's really wearable. The next is called Fringed. It's by Stephen West, and I think I mentioned this last time I did this. I seem to remember when, because fringe was definitely a thing last season two. It's more delicate this season. The fringe isn't quite the heavy biker fringe. It's a little bit more soft. You find it on the edges of like silk kimono style open jackets and stuff. So Fringed by Stephen West is, again, a multicolored shawl with a fringe, but instead this one is a crescent-shaped shawl, and the shaping's just worked with some yarn overs, which makes it very sort of graphic, and it's neat. And then there's colors worked into it as well. And, you know, Stephen West makes some weird patterns when he's so inclined, but this shawl's super wearable and, like, really on trend. The photos of it are very Stephen West, but just picture it on yourself, and I think you can see that this shawl is super wearable. I really like that bright pop of color he's put in on it. He's done it in a dusty gray-blue and a royal blue and a taupe color, and then, like, a really, really neon peachy pink color. Like, it's so neon that the camera doesn't even consistently capture it properly. And I think that bright pop really adds to the shawl, and you could do that by, you know, you could work it in a couple of the popular colors. You could do it in the glacier gray and the toasted almond and the custard color, you know, three neutrals, or do a blush pink and then pop in a really saturated color, you know, lucite green or whatever, and you could have a really interesting on-trend shawl, and I think it would knit up pleasantly quickly because it is mostly just back and forth, simple, no shaping. The next pattern is Nuvem by Martina Bem. It's been around for a while, and the main reason I want to recommend this is because a couple of my friends have knit it, and it's a really versatile piece. You know, it looks like just a big old polygon, but you can wrap it around yourself in all sorts of ways, and the thing I like about it is because it's knit in lace weight, if you just drape it over your shoulders and wear it like a wrap, it makes a great spring piece, but then you can wrap it around yourself quite warmly for a cozy fall-winter piece, so I just feel like you could get a lot of wear out of it. But the reason it fits into this trend is because Nuvem, while mostly just being a big flat polygon, has a ruffle all the way around the outside edge. And I imagine it takes forever to knit that ruffle, but it's totally worth it. And it's not a really huge ruffle, which appeals to me because I'm not a big fan of ruffles. But the second picture of it, she has it wrapped multiple times around a mannequin, which creates sort of layered ruffles, which works really well with the sort of cascading ruffles thing that were shown on the runways a lot. So it allows you to create that look, but with one piece, and it's more versatile and wearable than something like that. So the last one I wanted to talk about falls more into the scalloped hem kind of idea. It's a skirt called Between the Clouds, and it's by Motoko Takahashi. And it has some color work in it. And it creates, like, it's a gray and cream skirt, and the main body of the skirt's gray. And then it has two rows of cream sort of, they're not chevrons because they're more like scallops. What's the word for that? Can't think of it. Anyway, it makes the skirt look layered, but in fact it's not. And then the bottom of the skirt is done in cream, and it's just a feather and fan pattern, which sort of echoes the scallops in the rest of the skirt, but also creates that actual scalloped edge on the skirt, whereas the color work is just, it looks scalloped, but it's not, you know, doesn't add any texture. It's very, very cute, and if it works with your personal style, I could see it being a really fun little skirt to make. And I'm not normally a huge advocate for knitted skirts, but this one, I am an advocate for this one. I think it's adorable. I particularly like the way the waistband is done. It looks like it is a folded hem, and then with an elastic in it, which is a great way to keep something up. Because that's the thing that actually worries me about most knitted skirts, is that they're quite heavy, and I worry that they would slowly work their way down over the course of the day, and by the end of the day you'd be, you know, walking home from work having to hold up your drawers, and that's not what you want, really, in a clothing item. And let's see, the size measurement takes you in inches, from a 35 to a 52 hip, so, and a 23 to a 40.5 inch waist. So that's not a bad size range, and I think, you know, you could figure out how to add to it. I think if you wanted to make it bigger, you could totally figure out how to add in another repeat of the pattern. It's really cute. You have to go look at it, okay? It's super romantic and flirty and adorable and really, really feminine, and I'm just really in love with it. The next thing I wanted to talk about is the fabric, apparently, of the season, which is denim. I am not super in love with the way a lot of the denim has been presented on the runways. To me, it looks frumpy and reminds me of all of the most frumpy things of the 90s. It reminds me of the denim overalls that I used to wear to school every day. It's a bad reminder. Yuck. Anyway, it's, you know, the runways have everything from jeans, just plain jeans, Gucci had jeans, to denim dresses and denim jumpsuits and denim everything, and, like, formal denim. And I'm not talking about, like, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake formal denim. I'm, like, fancy, pretty formal denim. So I did look around for some patterns that evoked a denim feel. I mean, realistically, if you want to work with denim in a crafty way, you should be sewing it because it's not a knit fabric. But there's a pattern by Lisa Richardson called Electra. And it is also in Rowan 57. I'm actually considering buying this Rowan magazine because it's got so many good things in it. But it's a vest, or a waistcoat, as they say. I think it's more of a vest. And it also, in style, falls into the sort of military utility kind of trend that I talked about last week. It has breast pockets, but it's got a lot of detailing on it that makes it look like a denim vest that you would see. It's got a notched collar, it's got a waistband, it's got some faux seam details, button-downed pockets, buttons at the front. It's actually really cute. Like, I'm kind of surprised by it. And the projects of it that have been done already seem to look good. Like, they look like they work with the yarn and the style really well. So, I think it's kind of cool. It's knit in Rowan denim, which is a yarn that is meant to act and age the way denim fabric does. So, you know, if you've always wanted to try to knit something that you could just sew, try this, because you might as well. The last thing I wanted to talk about is bold stripes, and also ombres, but we'll get to that. Bold stripes. So both horizontal and vertical stripes, and kind of, like, the stripes are so big, they're more just, like, really extreme color blocking, but definitely stripes. And the pattern I brought up for this striping is Skew by Kyoko Nakayoshi. It was in Wool People Volume 8, which is a Brooklyn Tweed publication. And it's an open front cardigan with stripes that work on the bias. So in some ways it's got some similarities to the Delancey cardigan that I talked about last episode, in that it's got the diagonal stripes coming to a point in the back, which is a flattering sort of line. It also kind of, it's got a very 70s look to it, I think, but also is just wearable and cozy. It's not 70s in a kind of costumey way. It just kind of evokes that idea. And I think it's also the color that they've chosen to do it in. It's kind of a soft gray and a dusty brownish red. If we were to be talking in the language of the season, I suppose it's a glacier gray. Apparently I'm not talking in the language of any season. And a Marsala red. And actually, I can appreciate the application of Marsala in this context. Anyway, it's a great sweater. It's an open front blanket cardigan. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before because I thought it was really pretty. And you should check it out. Now, finding striped patterns is not at all difficult in the knitting world. You can add stripes to anything, so I thought I wouldn't dwell on stripes too much. But there was also something that didn't actually make it as far as a trend this season, but at the same time, I think deserves mention, and that is ombres. Ombres have been the thing. If you don't care for the term ombre, it's just the fading from one color to white, or from one to another. Color shift, I guess. And as I was looking at the fashion shows and all of that, and there wasn't much in the way of ombres, but the things that I've seen, you know, most pinned, if you go and just click search women's fashion on Pinterest, if you look at things that came from spring summer 2015 shows, the by far thing I've seen the most of is the collection by Elie Saab that is the evening wear dresses, and he did some amazing full-length ombre evening wear, and they're really simple. They've got sort of a complex-looking but very minimalist neckline and a nipped-in waist, and then just soft, flowy chiffon all the way to the floor in beautiful, beautiful ombre colors. And that by far has shown up more in the actual popular take-up of a runway idea, you know, the kind of things that people are looking at and finding beautiful, And so while it's not a trend, I think it deserves an honorable mention, so I dug up some patterns. And this one works well with the bold stripe color blocking concept too. And the 70s, because the 70s loved a good poncho. It is Haven by Holly Yeo, which is also from the Tempest collection that I mentioned earlier. It's a very simple poncho that has some cool stuff done with color in just one segment. It's, you know, a big flat knitted thing, but then you carry yarns together for a large segment of it, and so you carry the purple with the soft pink, and that creates a marled color between the two, and then you do just the soft pink, and then you do the soft pink and the lavender, and that creates a marl. And anyway, it transitions through royal purple, soft pinky purple, light lavender purple, bright grassy green to teal. Very jewelly, very pretty. And I think it's something that could be worn easily through a lot of different seasons. You know, it would be a nice thing to have, you know, if you're going to a beach bonfire on a summer evening and it's going to be cold next to the water, it would be perfect and cozy, provided you didn't get too close to the fire because you'd light yourself on fire. But, you know, provided you didn't do that. But it would be also good for the colder seasons. So I thought it definitely deserved a mention. And then the last one is Jessamine or Jessamine by Jen Lucas. And it is a triangular lace shawl. It's done in a fingering weight, but it's a very open lace. And so that, you know, works well with the transparency and the lacy and the boho, whatever. But it's done in a gradient in the Black Trillium Fiber Studio Lilt Sock. And I believe Black Trillium Fiber does all of these gradio. Jeez, it's like I'm tired or something. How surprising. Gradient colorways that you can get. And this one just happens to be in the Lucite Green color that one of the most popular Ellie Saab dresses was in. And so I had to add it because it's perfect. Perfect. Anyway, it's a really gorgeous little sort of Shetland-inspired formal triangular, like it's very traditional looking shawl. And it does have some, like, it looks like, no it doesn't. I was going to say it looks like it's knit on both sides, or lace on both sides, but maybe not. Anyway, it's a very pretty shawl. And it works beautifully with this gradient, and the gradient is the perfect color. And if you want to get your lace knit on, I suggest you pick up one of these gradient kits, because they're gorgeous. And you will have yourself an on-trend piece. And that, probably luckily, because I seem to be losing both my voice and my mind, concludes the show-and-tell segment of the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed the fashion report. I will be back again next fall. Sometime in September, with another one. Until then, I will just stay with you with the usual chatter and knitting and such. So, on to the last segment of the podcast, obsessions. My first obsession is soup. You know, what an exciting thing to be obsessed with, right? Everybody loves soup. No, but really, soup. So good. Two different soups that I've found that are awesome. One is a roasted cauliflower soup, because I'm not eating dairy right now. I do have this awesome cream of cauliflower soup that I love to make, but I can't make it because it has cream and sadness. But I found this recipe on Pinterest. I spend a lot of time on Pinterest. I use it carefully, but I do enjoy what I find. A recipe for a roasted cauliflower soup, to which I added a full head of roasted garlic as well. And then, to give it the creamy texture, rather than adding dairy or a lot of butter or anything like that, you just puree it with an immersion blender. And it was delicious. It was a fantastic soup and very creamy without any dairy at all. So, yay that. The second soup I really like is something I've just been making myself, which is, because I happen to have a lot of chicken stock on hand, because I like to make stock whenever I make a roast. Basically, if you take some onion and you take some fresh ginger and you lightly saute it, you know, till it's all fragrant and amazing, and then you add just plain unseasoned chicken stock to that. It gives you the base that tastes like my favorite wonton soup. And so I've been making that soup base a lot, and then you just add, you know, a little bit of meat and a green vegetable of some sort. You could use kale or spinach or whatever, and then some rice noodles, and you have kind of the most delicious soup ever, and it's really refreshing and tasty and yum. Obsessed with this soup. And who cares if my obsessions are lame? They're mine. They're so... Shh. Anyway, moving on, my second obsession is my little non-garden this year. If you've been with me for a while, you'll remember that last year I planted a garden in my sunroom, and I planted vegetables, and I had these high hopes to be able to grow vegetables in my sunroom. What I didn't take into account was that, despite the fact that the sunroom gets insanely hot and sunny, it doesn't actually get much in the way of direct sun, partly because it has a huge tree in front of it, and partly because the windows are coated in mylar or something, which just doesn't make it an ideal growing place. You know, it acts like a greenhouse, but it doesn't actually work like a greenhouse. So that's unfortunate. So I'm trying to decide what to do with it this year, and I was thinking of planting some things that don't require quite so much sun, but still are edible, because I like planting edible things. Last year I did tomatoes, which I got, you know, quite a few cherry tomatoes, and peppers and cucumbers and beans. My cat ate the majority of the bean plant. The cucumbers didn't produce in a way that I was entirely satisfied with. The peppers made one amazing huge pepper, which was all very well. It was only one pepper, but it was delicious. By the way, if you're searching for pepper seed varieties, red bull's horn, oh, so good. It's like the most delicious, flavorful red bell pepper you've ever had, but it's a long, narrow pepper. It's kind of the shape of a jalapeno, but really big and red and not spicy at all. So good. Anyway, so it didn't work that well. So I'm trying to decide what to do this year. I always keep a basil plant, but am I gonna, you know, plant some other herbs? Am I gonna go with some leafy things? Lettuce? I don't know. So if you have done any planting in shady areas that nevertheless get quite warm, and you've had some success with growable things, I don't know, would kale work? Would chard work? I'm gonna do my own research, but if you've had some success and you care to share it, I would love to have your input on things that grow in not great sun, but lots of heat. Because reasons. My final obsession is trying to get back into designing knitting patterns. I had two releases in the fall, and then got crazy with Christmas knitting, and then had health issues, and all of that stuff led me to being extremely unproductive, pattern design-wise. And I'm finally really feeling the urge to get back to designing. And it's a great feeling when you suddenly feel inspired again and motivated and excited about something that you really love. Such a good feeling. It's like getting your knitting mojo back, except, like, double. It's like getting your knitting and math mojo back together at the same time. So, as I come up with things, I'll keep you guys posted. But, you know, there's nothing in the works yet. Right now I'm still at the getting back to sketching and, you know, the sort of basic bottom level of designing. But there will be things. Oh, there will be things. So, that is that. I will catch you guys next week with the draw for the Fiberlicious giveaway. Do go check out their Kickstarter, share it with your friends, let people know about it. There's still a chance to get them fully funded, which would be awesome. I think they'll be able to, you know, I think that they can open this yarn store. I think that they can do it, and I know that having their Kickstarter would make it a lot easier and more comfortable for them. So I would love to see them get funded. And their back rewards are super cute. So yeah, go check it out, and then come back and enter in the giveaway. That's the thing that I was trying to say, is the giveaway, right? We'll be drawing next week for that. Yeah, I think that's all as far as things I had to tell you. So, until then, happy knitting. I'll see you next week. Bye.